Hello, and welcome to the Welligant Woman Podcast, a place for women over 40 who are ready to transform midlife, reimagine what's possible, and make each new decade better than the last. I'm your host, Karen Viesta, certified health and life coach. And after going through my own midlife reinvention, I can honestly say that I now experience more energy, vitality, confidence, and joy than I ever have before. Each week, I'll be sharing information, inspiration, and strategies to help you do the same. Let's get started. Hello, hello. I hope that you guys have had a great week. And you know I love talking about habits, so it will come as no surprise to you that I'm excited about today's episode. I truly believe that a well-lived life is created through our habits, our lifestyle habits, and especially our habits of thought. They are quite literally driving all of your actions and all of your results. And so I believe that the very best way to upgrade your life is to become really mindful and intentional about your habits. And I have a lot to say about that because I have a lot of evidence of that in my own life. I am most definitely a creature of habit. I've probably mentioned that before, which means that I can get very set in my routines. It doesn't take much for me to kind of go on automatic pilot. And that has worked for me in many ways. And at times when I wasn't very intentional and where the habits weren't so positive or productive, it's worked against me. So I have lots of experience with this and lots of strategies to offer you so that you can take control of your habits and make them really work for you and help you to create the results that you want in your life. So when I first had the idea to record a podcast about this, I started thinking about the habits that I have developed that I believe have really moved the needle in my life, that have greatly improved my life. And interestingly, they are not the habits that most people would expect. When most people think of good habits, it's like, you know, drink more water, exercise every day, save money. And while those are certainly good habits, the things that made a huge difference in my life are the habits that allowed me to shift my identity. They grew me and changed me on a really deep level. Drinking more water and saving more money don't necessarily do that. Those things might result from a shift in identity, but they aren't generally the catalyst for it. So what are the habits that act as a real catalyst for change and that enable us to evolve beyond our current identity and our current circumstances? I'm going to share in this episode the things that were absolute game changers for me because I truly believe that adopting these habits will make a huge difference in just about every area of your life. Number one is being kind to myself. There came a point when I just had it with my perfectionism and the ridiculous expectations that I had of myself. And believe me, this was not an easy one because I had a long history and a lot of, you know, quote unquote, good girl training, as so many of us do. But I reached a point when I was just exhausted. I was miserable, my marriage was falling apart, and I was like, okay, I've done the good girl thing for years. I've done everything everybody expected of me. I have spun cartwheels to please everyone around me. I've done everything, you know, quote unquote, right. And where has it gotten me? And I decided that it was time to put myself first and to treat myself with total kindness and compassion for a change. I decided to put an end to criticizing myself and beating myself up over everything, over being human and imperfect. It's so crazy what we can do to ourselves sometimes. So I just started treating myself the way that I treated all the other people in my life who I loved. And it made a huge difference because it led me to a place where I just won't tolerate my own self-abuse. You know, if I feel myself becoming critical of myself, and I do because we're all human and none of us is immune to that, I cut it right off. And it takes a lot of practice, but like anything else, little by little, the habit forms. And over time, it becomes so much easier and it feels so much better. You realize, you know, just how much time and mental energy you've spent over the years on all of those self-judgments and self-criticisms. So first and foremost, commit to the habit of being good to yourself. These next couple of things are more, I guess you'd say, time management habits, but they were pretty major for me. I'm a very creative person and I'm an ambitious person, so there are lots of things that I want to do. And if I'm not careful, I can easily spread myself too thin and my energy becomes kind of fragmented. And this year, around the time of the new year, I read a book called The 12-Week Year. If you subscribe to my newsletter, you probably remember that I talked about this when I was reading it. I think I may have even mentioned it on an Instagram post or something, but you know, basically, I shouted it from the rooftops because it was just so good. And one of the many things that I learned from that book was to focus on one big goal at a time. By channeling my energy into one big goal rather than two or three, it enables a lot more progress and momentum. In the book, they actually outline a process for breaking that goal down into micro goals. But the long and the short of it is that I don't overload my calendar like I used to. Rather than having a mile-long to-do list that is overwhelming and rarely gets completed, I focus on getting like three things done each day. If I get more done, fantastic, but I make it my priority to identify the three things that I feel are most important and I put my energy behind them so that I can get them done. And that kind of focus has made me much more productive and efficient. Now, also with respect to time management, I am now in the habit of pre-deciding pretty much everything. And I'll explain to you what I mean by that. You know, my day, my time, my meals, my spending, I decide as much as I can ahead of time. I know that there are some of you out there who are like, you know, I just want to be more spontaneous. And if that works for you, rock on. But that isn't the case for most people. It certainly wasn't the case for me. I make much better choices when I plan ahead. You know, it's like if I go into the supermarket without a list, I am guaranteed to make three separate trips to the market that week. Versus if I take the time to look in the fridge and the pantry and think about what I want and I create a list. And that is pretty much the case in all areas of my life. You know, and as I've become a business owner, this practice has made my life so much easier. You know, I do this, as I said, with respect to pretty much everything, certainly everything related to my business, my podcast, my launches, my social media. When I pre-decide, it just frees up so much mental energy and it alleviates decision fatigue, which is very real. It's very real for me. We just make so many decisions every day that it's really nice to begin the day by just following a plan as opposed to kind of creating it as I'm going through my day. So pre-deciding has been an amazing habit for me, and I highly recommend that you try it if you're not already in the habit of doing it. Here's another habit that, to be honest, was a tough one for me, but it's, you know, made a huge difference in my life and in my stress level. And that is allowing myself to feel all of my emotions, especially the uncomfortable ones. This requires a bit of explanation and you know, certainly a bit of vulnerability. When my marriage was falling apart, I had a teenager and a preteen at the time. I also had a full-time job and a house, and like many of you, a whole lot of stuff to do. Now, at the time, I would have told you, you know, I'm just very, very busy. And yes, I was busy, but what I realize now is that I kept myself busy and I used my busyness as a way to distract myself from facing the sadness and the anger and the frustration and the fear that I had over my marriage. You know, it was my way of procrastinating a decision that I knew deep down I needed to make. The problem was that when I finally allowed myself to feel all of that, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I made the decision to end my marriage, and I cried over it for the next 9 months. I'm not even joking when I say that I cried every day for 9 months that followed. And, you know, let me be real about that. I wasn't crying all day long. I mean, I was functional. But at some point during each day, I just found myself so sad and so overcome with grief. And it took me a long time to move that grief out of my system, you know, and I will never do that to myself again. I think it's so unhealthy. Now I'm so much better at sitting in an uncomfortable emotion. You know, I can feel it. I'm not afraid of it because I know that it is not going to take me down. It will pass. You know, I trust in my own strength and my own resilience. So I no longer have to avoid negative emotions or stuff them down. And if you're in a place, you know, like I was, and you struggle with that, there's therapy and there's thought work and there's coaching. There are lots of resources available to you. But developing this one habit, the ability to feel all of your feelings, will not only give you relief from carrying around all of those heavy emotions, but it will make you so much more emotionally available to others. You know, the saying really is true. We need to feel in order to heal. Another important habit, one that I really think has upgraded my life, is cultivating patience. If you are not a naturally patient person, and I totally get that because I am not, I am not a patient person by nature. Learning to trust life and the timing of things and the process that we need to go through is definitely something worth doing. I will not pretend that it's easy. It certainly wasn't for me, because when we are in it, you know, we can only see our little piece of the puzzle at that moment. And it can be really frustrating because it feels as if things are not happening, or that they're not happening fast enough, or that they're not the way we want them to happen. But we're really just waiting for the, as Abraham Hicks puts it, you know, for the grid to fill in. And the best way that I can explain that is, you know, imagine a piece of graph paper with all the little boxes. There's one box, point A, which is filled in. And point A is where you are. And then there's another box filled in, you know, on some other part of the page. And that is point B, which is where you want to be. And there are all of these boxes in between. And in order to get from point A to point B, we need all those boxes to fill in. That's essentially how the path emerges. It needs to kind of come into focus. Well, our job is to pay attention and watch, you know, pay attention to what's around us. And when we see a box fill in, when we see, you know, an opportunity or a step that needs to be taken or an action that needs to be taken, we need to move to that box. We need to keep watching and waiting and being willing to act when we're called to. And this might take some time, and that's where patience comes in. We need to trust that the path will reveal itself, and we have to be ready to be ready to be ready, as Abraham Hicks says. You know, and this is a new channel for me, but I really like it. It's helped me to not be as controlling. You know, when things in my life feel uncertain, when things in life in general, you know, feel uncertain, most of us are trying to control things in an effort to feel secure. And I can now find my security in other ways. I don't need to control everything around me. I can just trust that this process works, and I can trust my ability to pay attention and to take action when I'm called to. Also, you know, with respect to action, develop the habit of acting scared. One of my mentors calls it, quote unquote, acting with sweaty armpits. And I love that so much because it means that we don't have to succumb to our fears or let them hold us back. We can train ourselves to take action and just kind of bring our fear along for the ride. I love the quote by Brené Brown, and I forget which one of her books this was in, but she says, "Fear can ride in the car, but it has to stay in the back seat. It can't ride shotgun, and it absolutely cannot drive. It's nowhere near the radio either." And I really like that quote. And when we do this again and again, you know, when we just get used to acting with our fear instead of waiting for our fear to subside before taking action, then guess what happens? Fear gets used to riding in the back seat, so it stops fighting for control of the car. It just gets into the back seat and it shuts up and it just rides quietly with us. And we get things done in spite of it. The next habit that has upgraded my life, this will come as no shock to anybody, is making wellness my top priority. Build your habits around your wellness. And in particular, make it a habit to pay attention to how things feel in your body and in your nervous system. Every single thing in your life rests on your wellness: mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual. When our life is built on a solid foundation of wellness, we are able to read the signals that our body is sending us, and we're able to hear our intuition. We become open to all of the guidance that's available to us. Most women, unfortunately, are so disconnected from it that they don't even know that this guidance exists. So take advantage of it. Learn to use it, and it will make life so much easier and so much sweeter. And the last habit is, and this has upgraded so many different areas of my life, work with a coach, whatever type of coach you choose. There are wellness coaches and life coaches like me. There are business coaches. There are divorce coaches. There are relationship coaches, career coaches. The coaching industry is having a moment, and it has been for a while, because people, and women in particular, have learned what coaching can do. You know, we can't see our blind spots. Most of us just don't have that kind of objectivity. A good coach is the perfect blend of tough love and cheerleader. You know, and there are really three things that need to be in place in order to make progress toward our goals and our dreams. And a good coach will provide all three. So number one is you need to be operating with the right information. This is an information age. You know, we can get onto the computer and with the touch of a button have more information than we know what to do with. But sometimes it's hard to sift through and vet all of this information. You know, there's so much misinformation out there. So it's really helpful to have somebody we trust to help us sift through and vet the information and determine what is good information, you know, what is the information we can be working with. Number two is a process, because information is not enough. You know, we need somebody to break the information down and offer us steps and a process that's effective and that is manageable within the context of our life. So, you know, number one is information. Number two is a process. Number three is motivation and discipline, inspiration, you know, particularly on those days when we might be inclined to give up on ourselves. A coach offers accountability and the motivation to keep going. So if you're not in the habit of working with a coach, or maybe you've never worked with a coach, I encourage you to try it and judge it for yourself. I think you will be amazed at the difference it makes. And if you want to be coached by me for 30 days, my next group is starting on May 1st. So jump in and join us. I will put a link in the show notes It's going to be so much fun, and we will most definitely upgrade your habits in all the ways I've been talking about, and then some. So I hope that you will join us. Have a very well-elegant week, and I'll catch you next time. Hey, before I let you go, if you are a woman over 40 and you feel like life is on the decline, meaning your health, your waistline, and your energy aren't what they once were, your relationships aren't what they once were, and you've lost the enthusiasm and the sense of adventure you once had, then you are in the right place, my friend. My Revitalize program is a place where women step into their power and create a life that they absolutely love, starting with a body that is full of energy and vitality. You will lose the excess weight, including stubborn belly fat. You'll sleep again. And most importantly, you'll learn how to eat, drink, and think in a way that creates a lifetime of beauty and balance. Don't spend another year wishing for things to change. Create the change now. Visit the link in the show notes for more information and to register. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Well-Elegant Woman podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please don't forget to subscribe. And I'd love it if you would leave a 5-star review and share it with others. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll catch you in the next episode.